Well, if it's not the gout in my right foot, and then the problem in my left knee, and then my back, then I'm just a mess, Brother Bill. Amen. And I'll tell you another thing. I'm sitting in here, and I'm getting hungry. Every time I look back there, I see Brother Dave, and I'll tell you, if your face was just a little bit fatter, it'd be Colonel Sanders. Amen. I smell fried chicken. Hallelujah. And if a Baptist don't like fried chicken, he's got a problem. Amen. I like the fried chicken. I used to make a joke. My Uncle Johnny, he just passed away, and the funeral will be on Tuesday, I think, this week. And he taught me just about everything I don't know. No, he taught me just about everything I know growing up. I grew up without a dad, but my Uncle Johnny just taught me about welding, taught me about mechanics, taught me about electrical. My Uncle Johnny told me this: if it breaks, Mike, if you can't fix it, then it ain't worth fixing. Amen. And so that's what he used to tell me all the time. I love my Uncle Johnny. But I used to make a joke all the time, because when he was 58 years old, he had open heart surgery. He had a 5-way bypass. And so I told him, I said, I'd always go around and say, you know, somebody said, aren't you afraid of having a heart attack? I said, well, my Uncle Johnny ate fried chicken his whole life. And I said, my Aunt Betty made the best fried chicken there was, and he had a 5-way bypass at 58. I had mine at 56, amen. So, yeah. And I still like fried chicken, amen. And hallelujah. I thank the Lord I can be here again with you this evening. I want to go over to the book of Colossians tonight, please. The book of Colossians in chapter 1. The book of Colossians in chapter 1. And I do praise the Lord for this church and for your help over the many years when we've been here. And then sometimes the special checks that you've sent when we've been broke down or stranded or something else has happened. And I try to keep track of all that and try to send out thank yous. If I ever miss sending you a thank you, preacher, for something you've done, please forgive me. But I tried to get them all out. Amen. But sometimes they go to my church and they deposit them, then I don't find out who sent what. And I had a check that's come in like that recently here, and I don't know who sent what, you know. And pastor said, well, you had this much money. I said, well, who sent it? I don't know. Oh, all right, Brother Caraway. Thank you, Brother Caraway. I appreciate that. And all liars shall have their what? Amen. Well, Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, and what a privilege just to even be in the house of God tonight. And, you know, I told you this morning I had to cancel 10 weeks of meetings back in the spring because I blew my back out and had emergency surgery. I still am pastor this morning. The doctor came into my hospital room on 9 o'clock Sunday morning and said, your back is a mess. He said, you absolutely need surgery. And he said, what do you want to do? I said, surgery, so I'll see you in an hour. Amen. And that was after being the third day in the hospital. You can't beat that. How often do you hear that happening, man, that quick from a doctor, amen? And, boy, that was the Lord that did that. And I tell you, immediate relief when I woke up in the hospital room in recovery, immediate relief. I was feeling better. My left leg's still not back all the way, and I still tweak all the time. So sometimes when pastor was up here, I went to move a little bit, and my back tweaked, so I had to lean over, and then I had to stand up. You know, and if I don't do that, I ain't going to get up, let me tell you. But praise God for all his help in our ministry, and praise God for this church and what you've done. Well, would you stand with me as we read this evening? First Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, amen, that works. Well, I tell you, you find First Colossians, and that is Colossians, just telling you, amen. There is not a second, hallelujah. So Colossians chapter 1, and I would like to read. I want to begin reading in verse let's go to verse 22. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unapprovable, or excuse me, and reprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the affections of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this ministry among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Yes. And then he finishes up with what? The hope of glory. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege again, Father, to be here this evening and the opportunity, God, to present your word one more time, Father. I pray you would take the night and speak to our hearts, Lord, and have your way and will accomplished in our lives, Father, here this evening, that you might be glorified, Lord. If there's anyone in our presence who knows not Christ tonight, I pray you touch that heart, Lord. Speak to us now. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. As I begin this evening, I'd like to take off and think about that word there, that little word that we see here in the book of Colossians in chapter 1, verse 27, where he talks about the hope of glory. And I'd like to preach to you this evening for a few moments on that word hope. That word hope. Now, that word hope is an interesting word. Many people don't know this, preacher, but back in about probably the maybe 13, 14, 1500s, that word also had a meaning, which was this. If you look it up in Webster's 1828 dictionary, amen. Of course, he did a lot of research, did he not? And he was a smart man. I would like to know him. I would like to have known him on this side of glory. He says, hope, a lot of people don't know, was a noun, a sloping plain between ridges of mountains, not in use today, he says, you know. And that was not in use in 1828, but he says, he makes a statement, it was a plain between two mountain peaks. But that word hope is a desire sometimes of some good, accompanied with at least a slight expectation of attaining it, for a belief that it is attainable. It's attainable. Hope differs from wish and desire in this fact, that it implies some expectation of obtaining the good desired or the possibility of possessing it. Hope, therefore, always gives pleasure or joy, whereas wish and desire may produce or be accompanied with pain and distress. A wish and desire can be accompanied with distress or pain. But he says, hope does not. Hope is what you're looking for. You know it can be attained. Amen. And for instance, you could use that word hope the wrong way when you're in when I was in prison, and you could look at it like this, and you could say, well, I hope I get out one day, or I hope I make a parole. It's probably not going to happen, but I hope it will. You know. So your hope is nothing in that. It's just a wish. That's what he's talking about. It's just a desire to be free. Desire to be out. But your hope of glory, your hope of God is not in what you think or not in what you wish or what you desire. Hope of glory is in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. Amen. And so I'd like to speak to you for a few moments then that thought of hope. He also says about it, confidence in a future event. Don't we confidence in a future event of Christ coming back again? The highest degree of well-founded expectation of good as a hope founded on God's gracious promises, a scriptural sense, a well-founded scriptural hope is our religion, the source of our infallible happiness in Jesus Christ. Hope would be this, to be sober and hope to the end in 1 Peter 1:13. The place of confidence in trust in Christ with confident expectation of good. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God in Psalm 43. Hope means to desire with expectation of good or a belief that it may be obtained. But as a transitive verb, it is seldom used, and the phrases in which it is used are so elliptical for being understood sometimes. We need to just simply have our hope in Christ and Christ alone, trusting in Him. Hope, the hope of glory. Well, can I say this to you this evening? Number one, if you're taking notes, you might want to write this down. Number one, hope in Christ is a surety. Hope in Christ is a surety. Because that word hope there means an implicit faith or a trust or a complete confidence in what Christ has done. I don't hope, listen to me, I don't hope I know, I'm. I don't hope I'm going to heaven when I die. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. And you can base it on Scripture, by the way. If you don't know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, 1 John 5:13 says, these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, K-N-O-W, you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I'm saved. I know my hope is in Christ Jesus. I want to stop this for a second. Pastor, would you stand up and pray for Tony real quick? Mine.
Father, praise you and thank you. Thank you for Tony. Thank you again for knowing him for 20 years. Thank you for the changes that you brought to Tony's life in these past 20 years. Lord, Lord Carr, I thank you again for the conversations we've had with him in these last 2 weeks. I thank you, Father, that he's asked us to pray for his wife. And ask, yeah, Father, again, that you hear our prayers as we lift them for Darlene and that you can be.
Yeah.
Father, then we just pray for Tony's soul. We know again that he's right on the edge of understanding the,
yes,
things that he needs to call on the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you break down any barriers,
yes,
that you again open his heart. Thank you again, Father, for folks that have been a testimony and witness to Tony. And thank you for Brother Patterson and Father for his friendship to Tony. And just ask, Father, again, that you tug on Tony's heart. Father, we beg that you come to church this
week. Yes, amen.
And I pray, Father, that you hear our begging as well. Lord God, again, that you save Tony for us eternally too. Father, that you again, just even just now, Father, as we pause for a moment for rejoicing over our salvation, Lord God, again, that you touch Tony with his salvation. Father, that you again hear our prayer and touch. Father, thank you again that he came over this week and just to sit down and talk. Father, we praise you and thank you for him. Thank you for his watching over our building for us. Thank you again for his care for us. And Father, we care for his soul. You said you're not willing that any should perish. So we ask for Tony's soul and ask you to save him. Even tonight, we give you the praise in the name of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen.
I saw him walking out here with that tattoo hanging out, and I think that man needs prayer, amen. Not because of the tattoo, but because he needs to be saved. I got tattoos from the past, amen, and I needed to be saved. And of course, I knew I was wicked. He ain't sure about himself yet, amen. And I tell you what, my heart just goes out for him. I witnessed to him last year, I want to tell you, and I talked to him, and I told him, I said, Tony, I'm praying for you. And he said, you're praying for me? I said, yeah, I'm praying that one day you'll put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to get saved, amen. And so we've had a good relationship. I pulled in the other day, and Brother Tracy was out there with me, and Tony came around and talked to us for a little bit, didn't he, Brother Tracy? Well, I thank God for that. Well, hope in Christ is a surety. Titus chapter 1 with me. Let's go over there for a moment this evening, the book of Titus in chapter 1, right past 1 and 2 Timothy, and before Philemon, amen, there before you hit Hebrews in Titus chapter 1. And the Bible says this, Titus chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness in hope, listen to this, in hope, not that I hope I'm going to have eternal life, but in hope of eternal life, meaning that it is a surety. It's, I have a confidence in the fact that I'm going to have eternal life. I have eternal life when I die. It don't start when I go to heaven. It starts here in this life as a believer and putting my faith and trust in Christ and hope of eternal life, which God, now listen to this, which God that cannot lie before the world began. He gave me eternal life and a promise of eternal life before the world began. And when I received eternal life, my hope, it means it's my confidence and my trust is implicitly in him and in nothing else. I don't have to put trust in anything else to go to heaven. I can't put trust in my works. I can't put trust in your works. I can't put trust in what I can do. I can't put trust in anything that I can do. But my trust has to be in God and in God alone, 100% implicit faith and trust in him. That's what he's talking about when he talks about the hope of glory. That's what he's talking about when he talks about eternal life, which is that God cannot lie, promised before the world began. My hope is in Christ is a surety. A surety. Otherwise, it's a sure thing. It's not a sure bet. It's a sure thing. Go ahead and bet on something and say it's a sure bet. It probably ain't going to happen. It's probably going to fall through on you. But knowing Christ is a sure thing for me. I know. If my life ends right here tonight with a heart attack, Brother Caraway, please don't come up and give me mouth to mouth. I don't want to look at your ugly mug after I... No, I'm just saying, let me go, amen. I'm ready to go to heaven. I want to go to glory, amen. Because I know it will happen. I'm not afraid of that, amen. I'm not afraid. I have prayed for my Uncle John, I want to tell you, for many, many years. And I witnessed to my Uncle Johnny over and over and over again over the years. And my wife will tell you, every time I go to give them the gospel, pastor, somebody comes in a room and changes the subject. Praise the Lord. My nephew had just said that he was talking to my Uncle Johnny just recently. And my Uncle John told him, he said, I know some people think I'm not saved because I didn't do everything everybody thought I should do. He said, but me and God are okay. Now, I don't know what that means. I hope that means that he's saved, amen. It doesn't mean he is, doesn't mean he's not. But I'm hoping when he said, I know some people think I'm not saved. You know, that, you don't usually use that terminology. But all he ever told me in the past when I tried to talk to him was, well, me and the big man upstairs are okay. You know, well, I hope he's saved. I don't know, pastor, I hope. I found out recently here that my daughter, because I prayed for my mom continually. My mom is 93 years old now, and I pray for my mom all the time. Pray for her all the time, and she has never given me a clear-cut testimony of salvation. But Janet, I didn't know if you knew this, but last time Ricky stopped there to visit with her, Rochelle talked to her, our daughter Ricky, we call her Ricky, you know. Rochelle talked to her with her kids and talked to my mom, and my mom told her, she says, I'm saved. I did that. I did get it. I got saved. Amen. So praise the Lord. And as she did, it was when she was a little girl in an orphanage in the state of Pennsylvania years ago when her father put her in after her mother died and his second wife did not want anything to do with her, so they put her in an orphanage. Amen. And but she said that's where she had her conversion, evidently. Amen. Praise the Lord. I hope so. Amen. But I've witnessed these people all these years because my hope in Christ is a surety, and I want them to be sure that when they die, they have eternal life. I want you to be sure that when you die, you have eternal life, that you know 100% sure that if you die, you're going to heaven. I know 100% sure that if I die, I'm going to heaven. And not only hope in Christ is a surety, but hope will give you strength. Amen. Hope will give you strength. It'll help you to be able to go day by day. Look at Psalm in chapter 31. Open the book of Psalms with me in your Bible. The book of Psalms in chapter 31. He makes this statement. Let me get myself over there. My fingers ain't working too good tonight. One thumb's dead and the other one's half dead. Amen. But I haven't fallen off a tractor yet, pastor. I'm just saying, you know. Falling off ladders, falling off roof. My wife is shaking her head because you know what the next step is. I'll be on a tractor. I'll probably fall off. Amen. It never get mouthy, you know, about what happens to another preacher because this might happen to you. And look at Psalm chapter 31 with me tonight. And look at verse 34 as we read. Well, you find you. Yeah, 34. Psalm 30. Did I say Psalm 31? Well, there are under 34 verses in chapter 31. Amen. So let me look and see where I'm at. Verse 24. That's what I want. Why did I write 34, preacher? I have no idea. Verse 24. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that what? Hope in the Lord. All ye that hope in the Lord. Let's say it one more time. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Now, the word hope in the Old Testament and the word hope in the New Testament literally mean the same thing the way it's used. It changes a little bit with the Hebrew, a little bit with the Greek, but it means the same thing in both places, talking about a confidence and an implicit faith or trust in a holy God. Amen. And so it deals with the fact that we can have a surety in Christ, and that we can have a surety that he will give you strength, the hope that will give you strength, my hope in him. I can go through anything in my life if I do not let my hope in him falter. I just trust him and believe him no matter what goes on. He can help us get through it. No matter what happens, he can pull us through. No matter what happens, he can bring us out of the other side, because my hope cannot be in me. My hope has to be in him and in him alone. Look at me, if you want, Psalm chapter 42. Psalm in chapter 42. He makes a statement in Psalm in chapter 42 where he says, as the heart in verse 1 of Psalm chapter 42, as a heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. As your soul panteth after God, amen, that'd be a good thing to happen. My soul thirsteth for God. Does your soul thirst for God? My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Well, I tell you what, maybe you've been there at one time or another in your life through difficulties and hardships. I like what David goes on to say. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise with the multitude that kept holy day. He said, didn't stop me. I still went. I went. I followed. I remember these things. Why art thou cast down on me, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Watch what he says. What? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. The next thought here is hope will cause you to praise God. Hope thou in God, he makes a statement to you and I there. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and from the Hermonites, from the hill of Mizar. It'll cause you to praise God and thank God for what he has done for you as an individual, as a believer in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4 again. And Amelia said, I went to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise with a multitude that kept holy day. When's the last time you just praised God? Amen. When's the last time you just praised God? Just thank God. God, thank you so much. God, I praise your holy name. God, I praise you for who you are. God, I praise you for what you've done in my life. When's the last time you thank God? When's the last time you praise God for your salvation? Amen. I like that song. You know, the amazing thing is he saved a sinner like me. We ought to praise God over that. That ought to make it. I know we can't all do that, and I can't do it anymore like that, but I'll make us just want to jump up and kick our foot in the air and say, well, glory. Amen. Just well, glory to God. I do that now, and I'd end up on the ground and back in the hospital. Amen. But it ought to just make us rejoice in our heart to such a point that we ought not to be afraid, maybe to shout amen, or maybe if you're afraid to shout, well, glory, or hallelujah, or praise the Lord. Now, not everybody does that, Brother Caraway. Not everybody is as boisterous as you or me, you know, or as pastor or some other here in the room, or as Brother Tracy, amen. Boy, I tell you, he's got a voice and a half of boy years, I think, if he starts preaching, amen. But not everybody is like some of us, you know, but we ought to still have that rejoicing in our heart. And I can tell you what, if there's rejoicing in our heart, that'll be a little smile on your face, amen. That'll be a happiness in your life. And people ought to be able to recognize that. Some people walk around this life so stinking miserable and are saved, you wouldn't even know they were saved by the look on their face, amen. I know Jesus is my Savior, praise the Lord. No, man, I tell you what, I know Jesus is my Savior, praise the Lord, amen. Thank God for that, because boy, I want to tell you what, hope will cause you to praise God. Hope will cause you to not be afraid to speak about Jesus Christ, because it's the hope of glory, what he's done for you and what he has done for me. Look at another one with me, if you will. Hope will cause you to look for the Savior. Go back to Titus with me. Go back to the book of Titus with me, where we began over here. Well, after we began, we were in Titus for a little bit. But go back to the Titus with me for a minute here. And look with me, if you will, at chapter 2. And let's go down to verse 13. It makes this statement. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgive you all these... where did I tell you to go? Titus. I am not in Titus. Excuse me. You know where I was at? I was back in Colossians. I thought, that don't look right to me, amen. Well, I tell you, man, preacher, I know that never happens to you. You know, you got everything together when you get in the pulpit, and you know exactly what you're doing, amen. Titus chapter 2, look at verse 13. Here we go. Looking for that blessed hope, that Jesus Christ, that hope of glory, looking for that blessed hope, the Bible says, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Are you looking for that blessed hope? Are you anticipating that every day? Because one day he's coming back for you. One day he's coming back for me. Amen. He will come in the sky and we will meet him in the air. That's not the second coming of Christ, but that's the beginning of it. Amen. That's the rapture of the church when he comes back to take you out of here and take me out of here. Because at the second coming, his foot's going to step on the Mount of Olives and that's going to split in half. Amen. So, you know, this still deals with we're thinking here about looking for that coming of the Lord, looking for that day when he's coming back to take you, and looking for that day when he's coming back to take me. So he says again, looking for that blessed hope. Are you looking for him? Are you living? You know, we say all the time, I'm looking for him. Yeah, but are you living like you're looking for him? Are you living like you believe he can come back tonight? Are you living like you believe he can come back before I finish this message? Amen. If he does, listen to me. If he does, the room full of people here that know Christ as their Savior is going to disappear.
Yeah.
We're just going to go.
Amen.
It's going to be. Why? Because it's the rapture of the church.
Yeah.
He tells us in the scripture that he will come back and he will take us out of here before the great wrath of God, or before the tribulational period starts. And I happen to believe I am a pre-tribulational believer. Amen. I'm not going to go through that thing at all. I'm not going to go halfway through. I'm not going to go two-thirds of the way through. I'm not Rosenthal's ever going to go about almost three-fourths of the way through. It ain't going to happen, man.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going out the beginning of that thing. That's the promise of God to escape the wrath of God. Amen. Boy, I thank God for that promise in His Scripture. And He is coming back for you, brother. He's coming back for me. He's coming back for those who know Jesus Christ as their Savior. So all of a sudden tonight, if I would just disappear off this platform, you turn around and look, and if you're the last one sitting in here and you ain't gone, you have a problem. You have a problem. You need to know Christ as your personal Savior. Put your faith and trust in God. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Hope will cause you to praise God, and hope will cause you to look for the Savior. It'll cause you to keep your eyes heavenward. It'll cause you to think about what's going on day by day by day, and how you need to trust Him and believe Him and go with Him everywhere that He goes in your life. Just obey the things of God. And then the hope in Christ is our anchor. Amen. Hope in Christ is our anchor. Go with me to Hebrews, and just a couple more pages over in your Bible, and chapter 6. Hebrews and chapter 6. And he says in Hebrews in chapter 6 down to verse 19, he said, let's just back up a little bit. I like this. Let's just back up to verse 15. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God, by his word and by his oath, amen, and by two immutable things, it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge, lay hold upon the hope set before us. Lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. I want to tell you what, he can bring you through some things in your life that you never thought you could go through. He is the anchor of our soul. When I think of an anchor, Pastor, I think of out in New England, you get out in the Maine and you know where the big shipyards are and other places, and you probably care where, you've probably seen this around the country, a couple different places. And once in a while you go by a yard, a beautiful yard, beautiful home up on the hill, and a bunch of rocks down by the road and some flowers planted. Sometimes you'll see an anchor. I'm not talking about these little things that you throw off your fishing boat, you know. I'm not talking about a little coffee can filled with cement that you'll throw overboard to hold you in place. I'm talking about an anchor, brother, that is wider. I mean, that thing is huge, bigger than this, wider than this platform, and goes out to about where Jackie's sitting out here with the end of it. Huge. You seen them, brother? You know what I'm talking about. Huge anchors, amen. Now, Pastor, I know that you were in the Air Force. You don't use an anchor off a plane, amen. Just saying, now, if you're on an aircraft carrier, they'll use one, amen. But you didn't use one off a plane. You want that plane to go somewhere. You don't want it to sit still, amen. But that anchor would hold them in place. An anchor would drag the sea sometimes and slow them up. An anchor could do many, many different things for a ship, for a boat. But that anchor will hold them where they need to stay, where they need to be. And this anchor holds you in place. By the way, this is one anchor that ain't going to get hauled up, amen, in your life. This is an anchor that stays firm, stays complete, keeps you on that rock of salvation, keeps you in a place in your life where you have eternal life. You might stray from God, but you'll never walk away without that anchor, my friend. You might stray and do some things you should not do. I hope not, but you just very well might. But you have that anchor, the soul, Jesus Christ, that keeps us where we need to be and keeps us in salvation with God. We can never lose what God has given to us. Amen. I say that all the time, and I have some people sometimes give me strange looks when I say, you can't lose your salvation. And the pastor just go, and I'll say, here's why. I don't understand why. Even in Baptist churches, sometimes people don't, I don't know, they don't get it. Amen. I said, here's why. Because your salvation is not based on what you can do or cannot do.
Amen.
Your salvation is not based on the prayer you said. Amen.
Amen.
It's based on Jesus Christ, and the prayer Amen. Is an outward profession of what's taking place on the inward. God's dealing with your heart. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Caraway, you've led many, many more souls to the Lord than I have ever led. And I'm like you, I witness to the drunk. I witness to the drug addict. Amen. I'll witness to anybody I can witness to. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Pastor and I were out last year. Amen. I remember that. Remember down in Geneva, we were out there, and he led them. He led three individuals to the Lord one morning down there. One guy down there by the restaurant told us we couldn't stand down there in front of them anymore. And then up on the other way, about halfway up, we stopped, and two other guys. And you used a scenario, the way that you got that, and you told me you learned that from Brother Caraway. Amen. I thought that was pretty good. So he stole your thunder, brother. I'm just saying. No, I thought that was pretty good. I said, man, you know, because you develop. Amen. Something that works, amen. And when that works, it ought to be developed and passed on to somebody else. And I want to tell you what, salvation has worked in your life, and it ought to be passed on to somebody else, amen.
Amen.
It ought to be passed on to somebody else. And if you don't have it, my friend, you don't know. I tell you what, I can't be any happier than I am in Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen. The best thing that ever happened to me, being saved by the very grace of God, the best thing that happened to me, getting down on my knees in that prison cell, going down the center, bowing my head, and asking Jesus Christ to forgive me and to save me, and getting up, went down a center and got up a saint. Amen.
Amen.
Are you perfect, Brother Mike? No, I'm not perfect, and neither are you. Don't look at me like that. Amen. If I knew your wicked heart, you'd be ashamed. If you knew my wicked heart, I'd be ashamed. Amen. If you knew our wicked heart, if we knew each other's wicked heart, we'd both be ashamed at the same time. Amen. I tell you what, my friend, but my hope is, my anchor is Jesus Christ. I cannot lose. He says, and which entereth into that within the veil. And then hope doesn't just, hope makes us joyful. Hope makes us joyful. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. He makes a statement over in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. And I want to look at verse 19. He says, I think this is, yeah, this is it. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Otherwise, if there is no eternal life after this, it's just here in this life, he said, then you're miserable. You're miserable, most men. And I get to thinking, Pastor, those that believe they can lose their salvation, how miserable of a life that must be, to think that if you do a certain thing, if you don't do it exactly the right way, or if you don't do it the way somebody else says, that you can't be saved, that you can't be born. How miserable that must be in somebody, not sure that they have salvation, not sure that if they don't get somewhere in time to have someone help them, that they can't be, not sure, but yet they say they trusted Christ, but they must be miserable, thinking they can lose everything that they have in their salvation in the things of the Lord. Well, he says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I want to tell you what, I'm not miserable, but I'm joyful, amen, because my eternal life is not to start here, but it takes me on into glory. It ought to make you rejoice. It ought to make you shout. It ought to make you happy inside. It ought to make you, give you a spring in your step. It ought to make you want to witness to those who are close to you. Amen. That'll make you want to tell them about Jesus Christ, that they might be saved by the very grace of a holy, righteous God. And then the hope will show you mercy. Look at Psalm chapter 33 with me. The book of Psalms in the 33rd Psalm, would you please? The book of Psalms in chapter 33. Over in Psalm in chapter 33, he makes this statement down in verse 18 of the book of Psalms in the 33rd Psalm. He says this down in verse 18, and we're going to read down through verse 22, I believe. He says, let me get myself there. He says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope, look at this, in His what? Mercy. Hope. I have trust, listen, I have trust and confidence in the mercy of God. Why? Because I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You remember mercy is in Scripture, right? God is not giving to you what you deserve. He's withholding that from you. You deserve eternal damnation. You deserve to be separated from God forever in that place called hell because you are a sinner. Behold, I would have shapen in iniquity, David says, and behold, I shapen and in sin did my mother conceive me. Not meaning that she did anything for him wicked, but he was born a sinner. Amen. And the Bible talks about sin all the way through, from the beginning to the end, with Adam, all the way back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the sin that Adam had committed. Eve was deceived, but Adam chose, amen. And we choose to walk away from a righteous, holy God. He said, the hope in his mercy deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Let thy mercy be upon us, O Lord, according as we hope in thee. My hope is in the Lord. Amen. That means I trust him, have confidence in him for his mercy. His mercy, the Bible says, endureth forever. The psalm just skipped my mind. 130 something, Pastor, where every verse ends with his mercy endureth forever. Anybody remember where that's at there? 139 or so. I can't remember. Anyway, it's up there somewhere. Amen. But his mercy endureth forever. His mercy in every one of those verses deal and end with his mercy endureth forever. That's the mercy of God. I believe in the enduring mercy of God. If I did not, I could not be eternally saved. Because the mercy began at my salvation and it continues on through this life and extends to me in heaven. The wonderful mercy of a holy, righteous God. Well, I tell you, I thank God for his mercy. Amen. I thank God for what he has done in my life, and I hope you thank God for what he has done in your life. Look at one more. When we go back to the book of Job, right before the book of Psalms, the book of Job in chapter 8. Go back with me to Job in chapter 8. Over in the book of Job in chapter 8, it says this. Chapter 8 down to verse 'He's answering, I believe it is Bildad. Bildad, in fact, verse 1 says Bildad the Shuhite and said, then he answered him. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, excuse me. Answered Bildad the Shuhite and made this statement. So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. Now he's not talking, Pastor, and I realize that Job, an old book, and Job is not dealing with a born-again believer in salvation, amen. I understand that, but what he's saying there is that hypocrite, his hope, he has no hope, because see, a hypocrite today is one who has the outward appearance, but no inward possession. As a hypocrite today, in the church, a hypocrite would be one who has an outward appearance and no inward possession. Otherwise, on the outward, everything looks good. On the outward, they talk about Jesus. On the outward, they proclaim Jesus. On the outward, you would look at them and you would think that they know Jesus. But on the inward, they don't know Christ at all. And he said, their hope shall perish. Their hope shall perish. They have no. Otherwise, they don't have eternal salvation. They have not believed in the eternal God. They have not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ the way they ought to. I've knocked on many doors around this country over the years, and even knocked on some huts in Papua New Guinea, amen. I knocked on many doors up in Newfoundland, Canada, when we helped the church get started there back years ago. I believe 1992, amen. And we were helping some churches and stuff, knocked on many doors. And I hear this so many times, I think I might go to heaven. I hope I might go to heaven. But they don't know Christ when you talk to them. They don't know who Jesus is. Or they'll say, well, I pray that prayer every day. Well, praying that prayer every day, the prayer for salvation, amen, brother, is not going to get you saved, amen. But, man, there has to be something in your life, a time in your life, when you recognize the fact that you were a wicked sinner. You see, but I didn't live wicked, Brother Mike. I say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, I'm glad you didn't live wicked, but you're a wicked sinner in heart, amen. You're a sinner that needs to be saved by the very grace of God, amen.
Amen.
You say, well, Brother Mike, I wasn't in prison. Praise the Lord, I'm glad. Brother Mike, I didn't do drugs like you. Praise the Lord, I'm glad. Brother Mike, I wasn't a drunk like you. Praise the Lord, I'm glad you weren't, amen. Brother Mike, I didn't steal like you stole. Praise the Lord, I'm glad you didn't. Brother Mike, I didn't deal drugs. Praise the Lord, I'm glad you didn't. I did, amen. Pray. You say, Brother Mike, I didn't forge checks. I did, amen. I'm glad you did not. But that does not mean that you don't need to be saved, amen.
Amen.
You still need to put your faith and trust in Christ. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter what you have not done. What matters is your relationship with Jesus Christ. In relationship with Jesus Christ, and not just believe that there is a God. Not just believing that Jesus Christ went to the cross. Not just believing that He shed His blood. Not believing in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's not just believing those things. It's putting your faith, complete, implicit trust and faith and hope in the Lord and in the Lord alone and Him only and in absolutely nothing else. Believing what the Word of God says. Coming to that realization that God is right and you are wrong. Amen. He is right and you are wrong. He is good and you are not. Amen. He is pure and we are unholy. We have to come to that realization that God is who God is. Recognize Him for who He is and put our implicit faith and trust in Him and in Him alone, calling upon Him to forgive us for our sin. He is the hope of what? Glory. The hope of glory. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heads bowed, eyes closed. The hope of glory. I hope that you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now, you know, every time I preach, and I've preached here since Pastor said he thinks since eternity began, but preached here since 2004. And every time I preach, I give this same invitation, amen? Because I would not feel right. I would not feel right if I did not ask you. Has there been a day in your life, a time in your life, when you asked Jesus Christ to forgive you for your sin, and when you asked that, you felt relief. You felt like what happened was real and what happened was true. I mean, bro, I tell you what, when I got up off my knees in that prison cell, I felt the first time in my life that I had peace with God, which I had never experienced before. Do you need to experience that peace of God tonight in your life? You don't need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Is there anybody in here this evening, maybe with an upraised hand tonight, that would say, Mike, that's me. I'm not sure that I've been saved. I'm not sure, but I would like to be. I would like to know for sure that if my life ended, that I will be in heaven. I'd like to know for sure that if my life ended, I have eternal life, eternal security with God. I'd like to know for sure that I'm saved. Did you just pray for me tonight? I'm not going to embarrass you. But if that's you, would you just slip up your hand and let me pray for you? Anybody like that tonight, just pray for me tonight. I'm not sure I've been saved by the grace of God. I don't see any hands. I hope you're saved. I hope you're saved. The second question is this. Brother Mike, would you pray for me tonight? Because there was a couple of things. I need the joy of the Lord in my heart. I need to praise God with my heart. I need to rejoice in God. I need to trust God. I know my surety is in Him, but I need to trust Him in the daily part of practicality of my life to walk with Him because He is the hope of glory, and I want that to be evident in my life around other people. Would you just pray for me tonight? How about right now? You just slip up your hand. God bless you. Amen. Others, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can put them down. Anybody else tonight? Pray for me. I just want that to be seen by other people who are around me. Can we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed for a minute? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Stand to our feet. Stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, I thank You, Lord, tonight for those who raised their hand. I thank You tonight for those, Father, who have put their faith and their trust in You. They have trusted the hope of glory, Jesus Christ. And I pray tonight, Father, that You'd have Your will and Your way accomplished in these lives, Father. Help them to live in such a manner as the people around them will see this hope of glory, Father, working in their hearts to bring honor and glory to You, Father. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here yet that's not saved, please touch that heart, Father, before we leave the building tonight, that You might have all the honor and You might have all the glory, and we will give you the praise and the thanksgiving in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed yet? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Did the Lord speak to your heart tonight? Did He speak to your heart? If He spoke to your heart, slip up your hand. If He's all right, if He spoke to your heart, why don't you slip out and come? How about it? You slip out and come. You slip out and come. And if you can't kneel down, then you can sit in a chair. Amen. You just slip out and come. God spoke to your heart tonight. You slip out and come. Let Him do in your heart what He wants to do. Let Him do in your heart what He wants to do. You come. Let God help you. Let Him help you. If you need to be saved, if you need to be saved, every one of us one day slipped out of our seat and we came forward to the altar to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Some people in their bedroom was their altar. Mine was a prison cell. Yours could be right here tonight if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. And let us take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you have eternal life in your life. Would you come? If you need to be saved, you step out. You come right now. Let us show you from the Bible how you can be born again and know for sure that you have eternal life. How about it? You need to come? You come. Pastor.
Just as I am without one plea, but